Yes, thank you to those great sponsors here, the Woodford Reserve Musers Ticket Compound. Thanks to Desperados for feeding us last night.
Oh, boy.
Man, that was awesome. What
yummy,
a spread.
Yummy.
Coming up at 8:40, Gordo is going to take the wireless around the bunkhouse and do the wake-up call. We'll see who's up and who's still snoozing, and maybe we'll get a joke from Dan McDowell. We're on the porch right now, the Musers, joined by Norm and Corby. Talking Mavs last segment. Talking Campound this segment. By the way, Corby, I know you're a camper.
Yeah.
You like to go out into the wilderness and camp.
I do.
Norm, you have camped out in the wilderness, maybe out of necessity.
Uh-oh.
Before. I don't know that you've actually pitched a tent lately in terms of camping. I've not camped in a while since our last camp out. I love camping, though. It's a lot of fun. Some of my best experiences have been out camping. I feel like I need to do that more.
It's the best. Like, the last time that we really went was a couple of years ago. It's just hard with kids my age, but... And
do they like it?
Yeah, they had a blast.
They like it.
They had a blast. And,
like
and like, the place we went, no cell phone coverage whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So it was like, you kind of look at it, and you're like, well, see you later. And you just put it down, and I told the powers that be that I was like, look, we'll talk to you in, like, 3 or 4 days.
And that's great.
It was awesome. It was so, so great.
That's a digital detox right there.
Yeah.
Do we get trapped by stuff like that?
What?
By all the technology and the things we have to do. And
yes.
You sit in a restaurant and you watch people having dinner, and they're not talking to each other at all.
That's still amazing.
Their,
yeah.
Their gram.
Yeah, to get out away from all of that and to be in nature and to work off the rhythms of the day, sunrise and sunset. And
yeah.
That's awesome. I'm going to do more of it. All right, so I thought this was a really interesting topic for us. A P1 brought this up and said, I would like to hear all of you broadcasters, when you're doing a roundtable at the compound, each tell the story of your most embarrassing broadcast moment.
Oh.
Mine comes to mind really easily.
Mine does, too.
George is the moment of silence.
Yeah.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. No question, because I felt about an inch high. I can't tell you how awful I felt that day. I mean, really just distraught.
All right, Jer, I think we have that, at least in the short form, and then George can explain what happened.
Paul in... what?
That's the very short.
That's the extremely
very, very short,
short
one. Yeah, so this was a week after 9/11, the worst day since we've been alive. We weren't around for Pearl Harbor. And the whole world was just upside down that whole week. And then a week later, we were supposed to have this national radio moment of silence right at the time that the first plane hit the tower.
Was it a full week?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wasn't it? I got that right.
Yeah.
Right?
It was, yeah.
It was exactly 1 week, yeah.
Tuesday.
Okay.
And so these guys have dogpiled over the years and changed the story. But we knew it was going to be awkward no matter how we exited this moment of silence. We've never done one before, so how are you going to do it? And what I remember from it was there was an open where we have our station announcer say, and now we pause for a moment of silence.
I can't believe we don't have that audio.
We got
it. Yeah, I got it now.
Okay. Please join us in silence as we remember those innocent Americans lost in this unconscionable, cowardly act of terrorism on our nation.
Paul in
KTCK, Dallas Fort Worth. KTDK, Sherman Dennis.
Sorry.
KTDK,
Sanger. I'm very sorry about that. I wasn't paying attention. I'm very sorry.
Well, this is supposed to be the moment of silence now, then.
All right, let's do the moment of silence.
See, you don't.
Man.
Even after 9/11, you guys are doing jokes.
It wasn't a joke. It was not intended to be a joke.
No, okay, so you heard those guys were busting your balls.
You heard the sounder, so then what made you think that wasn't the moment of silence?
I guess in my mind, and I really did. I mean, I tried to treat it like everyone else. You know, I just tried to not think about broadcasting for a second, and I just lost track of where we were. And for some reason, and you know, where you're like half listening to what's said in your ear. For some reason, I'd already fast forwarded that was like the outro the closing.
Okay.
That's what I had in my mind. I know that sounds dumb and it's not even believable, but in my mind, that's what, okay, it's time to talk now. And we had said right after we're done, we're just going to go right to calls. There's nothing really to say. So in my mind, it was time to say something. And we, 1 second into the moment of silence.
You were the only American talking at that point.
Yeah.
The only American.
I really, and that's, I swear, I thought I was going
to
like get suspended and like it may become
Junior,
like a
I went
story.
To bat for you.
Yeah.
I mean, they were ready to do something serious.
We saved your job.
That's about as sincere really, as your attempt to, okay, this is the moment.
What are you talking about?
I felt like we had to get it in.
Yeah, I did too. I truly did.
Oh, shut up.
I didn't want to be the only station that didn't do the moment of silence.
Right.
And so why not carve out 5 seconds to just
exactly.
be quiet?
I mean, yeah, we wanted to make good on it. I mean, I know that we botched it. I think Craig and I covered for you pretty well on it.
Yeah, thank goodness.
You're right, George. Thank he goodness. Did have a very Floyd the Barber.
This is the moment.
This is the moment. He's in with me.
All right, so you can't top that.
That's a pretty good
awful.
One.
Awful. Just terrible.
I don't know that I've had one. I haven't had any broadcasts.
You've had so many.
You don't have one that stands out?
I don't know that I have one that stands out. I mean, I basically regret the first 25 years of my time at the Ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere in there.
What about the Cheech Marin thing?
Yeah, that was weird because I didn't mean to tick him off, and it just went sideways on me. And another one that went sideways on me one time was that Carolyn Rhea.
She
was from Sabrina the Teenage Witch, and she was on with this one time.
I don't remember
she
that.
She was?
Yeah, and I remember that kind of going sideways on me, and I felt really bad about that one. But if you keep reminding me, there's a million of them. I'm sure B1's a
bear trap.
Also, that one do. And
do those embarrass you or do you embrace it?
Well, they're embarrassing. I mean, like the Cheech one we ultimately embraced, but I certainly didn't intend. It's when you're like joking around, and you're thinking things are going well, and the person's enjoying it too, and then. No, the person's not enjoying it whatsoever. It's surprising and shocking and embarrassing.
I think he was joking, Coach.
Norm, have you had one?
Oh, God.
What about when you called for me and your boss to be fired?
That was a moment of brilliance.
I was on my game that day.
Norm and I have had a few. I'm embarrassed of some of the conflicts I have with Norm.
Mozart? Is that a good one?
Mozart, because you realize... You've gone into this passionate description, and the whole thing was BS.
Based on a lie.
So often.
Based on a lie.
And that's the longest...
One of the greatest stammers of all time.
I'm sure we have that one handy.
Well, I mean, I'm just here.
what about Corby when he was laughing at the Wilson brothers' dad dying?
Yeah, what's yours?
It's not that.
Yeah.
That was pretty bad.
Yeah.
Because Don Henley was really like upset. I remember having to talk to him afterwards.
We covered for you.
Yeah, we really. Okay, yeah. Frank
Thanks,
and I
guys.
Really covered for you.
You guys are awesome partners.
Yeah. What did you describe? He was going so fast that he couldn't downshift fast enough.
Yeah, he couldn't. So you were in the. You're going to laugh no matter what. And as soon as Don Henley says, and condolences to the Wilson family, by the way. Oh, yeah. Laughing at the fact that their dad died. Do we have that, sweet chair?
Oh, man. Mine is definitely what we referenced yesterday and what I've talked about here the last couple of days is...
Good luck with your bottom.
Yeah.
Is it really?
Because you were...
Dude.
He didn't want to be on the air.
Craig, I was... blacked out and did not and I knew I mean I had the wherewithal whatever 2010 we had been drinking I know that I've started drinking at like 5 o'clock a couple of beers and then straight into Woodford.
Was that a power hour too?
Probably so. There was a lot going
on.
And I was
drinking responsibly at that
point. And I was really really upset by the Mavs getting just killed by the Spurs, and I was just like, you know, just throwing it back. But I do know I might have had a trip to the woods with a broadcast partner.
Oh, yeah. No.
I knew, though. I knew that I did not need to be on the air. And so I went to my tent, and that was it. Zip, done. Whatever time that was. I don't even know what time it was. And I was asleep, and I remember the real hazy Mike Reiner coming in the tent and like, you're not done, or whatever. And I'm just like, what?
Mike's pants were down.
Yeah. Now you're done. But and then I really have no memory. And so the next morning, waking up, I get up and I'm just like, oh, God, I feel horrible. And Dan McDowell was like, dude, you were amazing last night. And I'm like, and I kind of laughed at it because.
So you were a blackout.
Yeah. In my mind, I was like, oh, I went to bed. But before I went to bed, I must have, you know, we had a good time or whatever. And then I get word that I was on the air for like 2 hours.
So good luck.
Wow.
Jennifer. Man. I didn't realize Jennifer, that you were in a blackout.
I didn't
bottom.
Either.
Yeah. Yeah. And so when I started hearing all that, I'm like, oh my.
What else?
I thought, I'm going to get fired. That was my first thought. I'm like, what did I do? And yeah, so that was horrible. I felt so bad.
Man.
Good luck.
Drinking Corby.
With your bottom.
Good luck, Jennifer. With your bottom.
You don't sound drunk.
No. No. Not at all. But it was so cringy. I've accepted it now.
Good.
But I'm
yeah, Craig and I covered for you a lot that
yeah,
night.
Thanks a lot,
we went
guys.
To bat for you.
We went into Dan Bennett's office. He was going to fire you, and we said, man, you got to keep him.
He's an important part
he's
of our
young,
team.
He's young. Yeah.
He's still learning.
Impressionable.
Look at George.
What? Just reliving the pain?
I thought you were just reliving the junior and Gordon.
Oh, sticking
in
his
office for everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I was embarrassed one time for Chris Arnold whenever he picked up what's his name? Vern Troyer.
The late, great Vern Troyer.
When little, tiny Vern Troyer was in there.
We were given one instruction when he came up in the studio, which is don't help him in any way. He does not want to feel like he is disabled or that he can't do for himself. So
and
do not help him.
Yeah, and he's fine. Like, he can do anything. And he really could.
He can climb up on a chair if he has.
Yeah, well, Vern Troyer literally was
2 foot and a half.
Yeah. And so to get on one of our chairs in the studio, it was a process. There was he's a toddler.
Yeah. It was on wheels. And
yeah, right. And so, I mean, we have this.
What are you laughing at?
I was just remembering an old story about other things.
We have this very specific set of instructions to not help him, do not pick him up.
Didn't want to be touched.
Yes. And immediately. Chris is over. He's like, let me help you up here, little buddy. And, like,
and
grabs
him
by
like
the waist. And the arms are flailing.
He turned into a bobcat.
Yeah, he started swinging. Vern Troyer started swinging. Of course, he couldn't connect.
What a scene
Chris
that must
hold
have
him
been.
At arm's length.
God. And then he, like, tried to put the headset on. I mean, he's like, he's fine.
Tried to burp him.
He climbed up there. He climbed up the chair, though. I mean, it was incredible. He's obviously done it 10,000 times.
Did a flip on his way up?
Oh, yeah. Like he can, scale buildings and stuff.
Yeah.
Like works like a parkour. Wolf spider.
Like could. A small Spider-Man.
God, I wish I could have seen that.
But I felt so... And then, like, we immediately came back from break, and he was still, like, huffing and puffing,
he's
you
still
know?
Mad.
And
so mad.
I, it was just like, oh, it was so weird.
All right, so my most embarrassing moment in broadcasting, easily, this is year two of the ticket, and we were doing the TCU games at the time, and I did them with Chuck Cooperstein, who was at the ticket at the time.
Is that right?
This is a TCU basketball game in Fort Worth, and my job as the color commentator was to host the halftime show as well, so I always had to find a guest in the arena to interview. So I said to Chuck during one timeout, I said, man, I don't really see anybody here and talk to you. He goes, hey, right down there into the scores table, Al Bianchi, the great super scout from the Phoenix Suns. He's got 30 years of basketball experience. He's got a million stories. Go ask him. So Chuck knows sports, right? So I said, okay. So I walked down there, and I said, hi, Al, excuse me? And he looks at me and goes, what? Yeah? I said, hi, I'm Craig Miller, TCU Radio Network. Do you mind being our halftime guest? Yeah, where are you? Right down here, end of the table. Okay, I'll be down there. Great. So I come back. Hey, got Al Bianchi. Halftime rolls around. He walks down, sits down in Chuck's chair. Chuck had gone to get something to eat at halftime, and so he's sitting next to me. Broadcast comes back to Fort Worth, and I bring it back. Welcome back. Halftime, TCU leads SMU 50-49, and our halftime guest, very pleased to welcome the super scout from the Phoenix Suns, the great Al Bianchi. Al, thanks for the time. And he looks at me and says, I'm Scotty Sterling from the Sacramento Kings. And
what did you say at that point?
I almost threw up, and I didn't know what to do, and I just laughed and tried to laugh it off and say, I'm sorry, we got Scotty Sterling. And I tried to then just talk basketball, and he stayed and reluctantly answered four or five questions. And then I said, Scotty, thanks for your time. And I threw it to break, and he took off the headsets and threw them down and walked off.
Ugh.
I was so humiliated, and I was so mad at Chuck for misidentifying him.
Yes. What did Chuck say?
I think he just, oh, sorry.
Well, hurts to miss that one.
Oh, that's Scotty Sterling, really? It was so embarrassing. What was the listener thinking, listening to that? How does this guy not know who he's talking to?
So that doesn't exist in any form?
No, I've never heard
of
it.
Man, you should have got a hold of that and saved it.
Yeah, but at the time, you're like, just burn that. Never go away.
You never want to hear it.
You're right. I'd like to hear it now, but back then, no way.
A colleague of mine. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Gordon.
No, go ahead.
A colleague of mine at Channel 4, way, way, way back, was covering the Colonial. And I honestly have them confused right now, but he was interviewing Eric Devlin, who had that very distinctive
South African
pattern.
Yeah.
I don't know, was Devlin South African? Anyway.
Toodles.
Okay. So he breaks in and he says, boy, you had a really great round today. Tell me about, first let's start with the fourth hole. And Bruce Devlin says, I'm Bruce Devlin. I think you want Bruce Crampton, and I can go get him for you if you like.
Oh, how funny. Oh, so awful. All right, so there you have it, our embarrassing broadcast stories.